Okay, welcome back. There is a lot going on, much more than most anyone could or maybe even would want to try to synthesize and make sense of. And it's all being basically directed from multiple levels at the top. Different departments, so to speak, have different areas of responsibility. But the quality and quantity of chaos can only be expected to intensify as we move on into this last 6 months of the year and the madness that has been scripted. You watch. Just watch and see. It's going to get really crazy. Trump has three more trials. Don't forget that. And July 11th, I think, is the sentencing. And they're going to send him to prison. No question. Not here. When he gets there, the Secret Service, which has already been practicing, will give him protection. They're going to have to give him separate quarters. I wonder how many years they're going to give him all together, though. You can give him over 100 years. What a joke. Anyhow, it's going to be wild. I do not think there's going to be a civil war. I don't think the American people have it anymore. I think the younger people, Gen Z, that's 28 years of age and under. And the millennials, certainly the bottom half of that group, they don't have it either. So you're probably going to see secession movements in various states. That's my guess. It's actually my hope. I think secession has long been the only way to really try to pursue this. But they are pounding the red states with invaders. They're putting them in all the time, trying to neutralize the advantage that American citizen patriots have. And any of these states who allow the invaders to vote are really just, they're asking for it. And they're going to get it. This is all crazy. If voting even matters in the traditional sense, why tally up anything when one-fourth of the voters are invaders and shouldn't be allowed to vote? This is all crazy, and it's been designed to do that. And I say again, you ain't seen nothing yet. All right, the first death from H5N2, it's a variant of H5N1, the bird flu, was announced by the ever untrustworthy World Health Organization today. And here she is to weigh in with her two cents, Erica, that wonderful voice of reason and science and common sense.
Well, I you know, what can you say? It looks like they're setting the stage for a replay.
We've watched this from the beginning, and we've talked many times between us, and they're doing everything they need to do to set the stage. It's being done. Will they follow through? Looks like it. We'll find out. But you're right.
I right now they're talking about recommendations for vaccinating workers coming into contact with birds or cows. Where it goes from there, I don't know.
I don't know either. We'll find out.
There's several companies that are prepping. There's vaccines in the pipeline now.
Yes.
There's vaccines, ready to go on the shelf.
Lots of them. Millions and millions. Maybe even tens of millions. It's all there. They're ready to roll out.
Are they mRNA
vaccines? I don't know the answer to that.
The current one, no. The one manufactured by Seqirus is not. It's a traditional influenza vaccine targeting H5N1. The controversial thing about that vaccine, though, is that it uses a squalene-based adjuvant.
Now,
these squalene adjuvants have been associated with
Go for illness?
Autoimmune diseases, lupus, things like that.
Yeah. That was one of the big things for GWI. They were pointing at squalene back then.
That's right. Yep.
On the stock market, Novavax, and you all know what Novavax is, I think you should, soars. Their shares went up as the FDA has decided on the next COVID shot. They're getting ready to roll out a new and improved COVID death bioweapon this fall. All right? And it'll be an mRNA, another one. And it'll be more sophisticated. You know they always
improve
on
their... Well, Novavax is not.
Well, wait
remember,
and see.
Remember, Novavax.
I'm predicting Novavax the one this fall will be.
Novavax is Jeff's protein subunit.
That's right. I'm looking for one, though, this fall that's an advanced mRNA. Let's see. Let's see what it says.
Well, they've got, they just approved an RSV vaccine on an mRNA platform.
Yes.
For respiratory syncytial virus. That was approved at the end of May, a couple days ago, with no testing.
After 5 years of testing. Right. Ha ha.
And it's being recommended for seniors age 60 plus.
Let's kill them off. Get rid of them. Right.
So it will, you know, you're looking at another round of shedding because this will cause the person who receives the injection to start manufacturing, I believe it's what's called the F protein, as in fusion.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows what that's going to do.
Right. Yeah, I agree. We'll see. This is all, it's going to be just awful, trying to make heads and tails of it all. It's crazy. All right. We have a special guest back with us tonight. It's our second visit, and we're very, very honored always to be able to talk with Nurse Lindsay House. I don't know how to really say this adequately. She is a true hero of our times. She is terribly vax-injured. She has been fighting through hellacious problems. She is not going to quit. And she is an inspiration to many around the world, to put it mildly. Hello, Lindsay. Welcome back.
Hey, my friends. I've missed you guys, and I love you.
Hi, Lindsay. Well, good to have you back.
Hey, Erica. So good to hear your voices. I know I got Jeff's email, and I got so pumped up. I just actually got off of a Twitter space. We played my baseline radio interview with Jeremiah that we recorded last week, so we just played it for everybody to listen to. And this one was a little bit different interview because it was more based off of education and going over my lab results, like I want to go over with you guys.
Good. Yeah, we were curious about that. And the last time you were on, you were working toward having more tests, and they're very important tests as well. Let me just ask you a general question, and I mentioned this before, but as you look from your perspective of really having been physiologically terribly damaged by these intentional bioweapon injections, and maybe other factors as well. As you look at the U.S., Western Europe, and let's not forget that people are dying in the Philippines like flies, in Indonesia, Malaysia. This is a worldwide issue. They are going after the world population. How do you see the trend as it would apply to the vax injured at this point? They seem to be, a lot of them, coming out of a 2 or 3 year period where they're still functional, things aren't quite right, but then they're getting worse. Now that's our view of it. How do you see it? Because you're right smack in the middle.
You nailed it. So the ones that have been injured, like myself, for a while, our bodies are starting to tire down. We're starting to see that because of the mitochondrial failure and the we're starting to see like congestive heart failure and just, you know, my multi-organ stuff, because your bodies aren't supposed to work this hard. Like, I'm still in cytokine storm and I'm in year 2.5 of my injury. Your bodies aren't supposed to work that hard every day just to survive. So we're starting to see that. And of course, we don't make energy cells with the ATP, but also for the ones who haven't had any issues, we're starting to see pop up now as the years go by, too. And it could be, you know, little things such as minor as hair loss or anything like that.
Right.
Definitely a lot of menstrual and reproductive stuff. Hold on, my cat's being a bad cat. Get in. And that's very concerning because correlating it with our imaging, because we're seeing brain shrinkage on some of our follow-up scans. And this is quick, too. It was like 1 year. It's correlating with that and the low sperm counts in our men, too. So we are monitoring a few in the community with low sperm counts who were previously healthy. One's in their 20s, one's in their 30s, one's in their 40s. So all of those are starting to correlate. And Jeff, now, and Erica, I would always say, if you have a new ailment or diagnosis or symptom since your injection that you didn't have before, I would deem it the shot until proven otherwise, because you didn't have that before you were injected. And there needs to be some, like, why is this happening now? Why is this new disease process occurring? Why do I have cancer now? That sort of thing. We need to start asking why now.
Well said. Let me say one thing, then I want Erica to jump in here. The most important thing you just said was that the body can't do what it's now being demanded to do, and that's try to deal with these issues. It can't do it. It just can't do it. The shots were designed to defeat the body, okay? They're anti-life. Now, one of the first things that happens, and you know this better than anyone, is that when you get injected, your blood is severely damaged, and it becomes thick. We call it sludge blood, and all of a sudden your heart...
Mud blood.
There you go. Atta girl. Your heart has to work 2-3 times harder to try to push this mud sludge throughout your vasculature. That's just for openers. Go ahead, Erica. Anything you want to jump in here?
That's perfect.
Yeah, I think I've always suspected from the beginning that the blood was the real target. You know, we hear so much about the ACE2 receptor, which, you know, the receptor is present throughout the body in many different organs and tissues, the endothelium significantly. But the red blood cells themselves, the things that are responsible for oxygenating every other organ and tissue in the body, if that's not functioning, that's a big deal. And, you know, we know that there's 3 receptors on a red blood cell that the spike can attach to, and if not just destroy it, I mean, there's no virus when we're just talking about the spike, but it can deform it and cause it to become non-functional and clump. And
well, look what it does to the heme and the iron right away, the spike.
Right, so
iron,
now you've got to deal
iron,
with that stuff.
Lots of iron
problems. Yeah, that's very common.
Go ahead,
liver,
Lindsay.
Liver fatty tissue that has no genetic markers or any alcoholic history whatsoever. So that's got to be from the LNPs and the spike clogging it up, too. And then Bruce Patterson's study that just came out with the monocyte lines being transfected, because my monocyte line got retransfected again after we cleared it last year. And he found S1, which is found in long COVID and vax injury, but he also found S2, S1 mutant, and S2 mutant segments of the spike protein. And the latter three are concerning because he didn't find it in the long COVID spike. He only found it in the vax spike. So it's making foreign proteins the body can't even identify. It's calling it as mutant 1 and 2.
Can't even identify. Now, you said something else interesting right there, and we've talked about this. The liver seems to take it next to the heart and the brain, maybe right between the eyes. Fatty tumors, fatty growths in the liver from the liquid nanoparticles, this is and the spike, this is really bad news. This whoever, and I'm not sure who did, but whoever really designed this, and you're a professional, you're a registered nurse, could they have done a much better job at anti-life in an injection than this thing? It's got dozens of ways of killing.
I mean, they got it down. Every body system, literally, from a T, it's like a buffet bar. Going down from head to toe is literally affected and hit and affects one another. And it plays off of each other, too. It's very a long-lasting plan, I would have to say, to do this. Absolutely.
I agree. It's very insidious. And I've said before that I think when you can target the heme, you know, the basic molecule of the body that's responsible for transporting oxygen, well, anything can go wrong. You know, every cell in the body needs oxygen, and it needs to be there in a controlled fashion, not just haphazard. You can't just blow oxygen onto something and think that it's going to do what it's supposed to do. No, it has to be controlled, released and controlled. And I think that's just so fundamental to life. You know, you're suffocating people. You're asphyxiating them.
Yeah, and after their genomes, too. That's another battle.
Have you got your results back yet? Do you know if there was integration?
Let me fill you in. So they're still pending. They are transcribing both RNA and DNA separately. And the last I talked to the researchers, they were having trouble with publications being blocked in the scientific community. And so right now they have not released the results yet, so I don't know the results. I don't know if they're finished. They didn't tell me that. But they did say that once I can get the results, then they would be able to release the publication. So what's going on, their scientific community has been captured with suppressing publications and getting publications that were put out redacted. So putting out a lot of money, time, and effort, and then that's what they're scared about doing, and that's what's happening, and that's what we're seeing. So those are some obstacles I wanted to let you guys know and update you on, but I'm still waiting. As soon as I do know it, it will hit the genome bank, and once that happens, everybody will be able to look at it.
Wow. That'll be interesting.
Yeah. And also, too, I don't talk about this. I don't know if you guys even know this. So my dad is also vaccine injured. He received his Pfizer booster in 2 months after he was diagnosed with stage 2 prostate cancer. He's also had 2 strokes since then, despite being on anticoagulant therapy for over 15-plus years for a prior triple bypass surgery. So he's also injured, and we are actually going to send some anonymous tissue samples to Dr. P.J. Buchholz through his pathology and through the School of Columbia, South Carolina. And, of course, it's going anonymous. So once his results hit, we won't know if it's his or not, but you will see father and daughter vaccine injured in the genome bank once it's all said and done.
Good. Good.
Yeah, so it'll be a strong base to go off of and pave the way, kind of like a precedent case, I guess you could say.
Right.
Yeah.
Lindsay, how are you doing? You went to that event, I think it was Florida, and the car ride down there, that it tired you out so much you couldn't appear. You had to appear virtually from the hotel, laying in a bed resting. And a lot of people really are praying for you and hoping that things are at least stable and you're fighting this off. Because if anybody has tried any harder than you have to deal with this, I couldn't imagine who it would be. So how are you doing?
So I've been fluctuating. That trip, the car ride, travel takes it out of us. I was actually bedbound that day. I couldn't stand up longer than maybe 3 minutes without being dizzy and passing out. So I actually did that interview from my bed at my Airbnb with my head on my pillow, because if I moved my head at all, I would pass out or get dizzy. So that you guys got raw, bad symptoms, disabled, vaccine injured to the core right there. You just got a perfect picture view of what we do sometimes daily. But since then, I've been stable. Right now I'm actually standing up. I can stand up longer than 3 minutes. It comes and goes, literally second by second. It's like I've said before, and so many of us injured have said this, and it's the weirdest thing to say, and people, you know, you're crazy for saying this, but this is what's happened. I feel like this is not my body at all. I have no control over this body, and it just does what it's going to do, and I just have to be along for the ride, honestly.
Mm.
We've heard that kind of a description before from some very frustrated people. They'll say things like, I want out of this body. This is not my body. And here you are, your soul and your mind and your consciousness are trapped in a machine that is being destroyed. And for you listening in who are not vax injured, and I know quite a few of you are because you've been vaxed. This is, again, somebody to watch carefully, pay attention to, because she's on the very front edge of this. Lindsay, what about people's awareness of the shedding issue, which we think is major? That's our view.
Yeah.
Can you update us on that, please?
So of course, they're not researching it right now. There's no funding right now at all for any vaccine injury.
None.
They do have long COVID. But that's where they're trying to get you, is saying it's long COVID when you're actually vaccine injured on top of the virus injured. So essentially now your vaccine status does not matter, because you're going to get spiked 3 ways. You're going to get it, the vax, the virus, or a shed-in. And that's huge, because everybody is going to be affected regardless.
We like to think that those out and about exposed to shedders, if they minimize it, which is their only real pathway, if they minimize it, their immune system might be able to handle the spike and keep it down.
There are ways to keep it at bay and to live your life without being scared. That's what they want you to be, is scared, but when you're educated, you're not scared. And that's where we come into play, and we've been trying to make a guidebook and like a help situation and like just from start to begin, and where do you go from here, and about the spike protein and how, what breaks it down, what denatures it, what does this. So we're getting a little bit more educated and deeper only by trial and error from the vaccine injured community and the freedom fighters themselves, because the government's not helping us whatsoever. You guys know that. We've learned that a long time ago. That's why we enacted our community to do it for ourselves.
No, they're the enemy.
Our own providers.
The government is our enemy. It's our worst. Our worst adversary, because it was behind this 100%. Not everyone, but the majority. And the majority is not our government. Those people don't represent us. You know that, and all of you listening know that. And if your country is anything like ours, you're just as frustrated as we are, and most countries are. Governments are just not responsive to the people. This country has been overthrown. It's not ours anymore. And I don't want to sound defeatist at all or negative, but I'm a realist, and I don't see anything to make me think otherwise. Nothing.
Especially last week's display was very disheartening as an American. And it was, I mean, just for anybody to watch what happened in the prosecution on someone that was unnecessarily done, I mean, it's just a big show at this point. It's like big theater. We're just watching it live.
Well, well said. Do you have, and everybody wants to know, what do you take? What should I take? Whether you're vax injured or not, can you just rattle off a few of the things that you have confidence in that are going to, if not turn things around, as you said, certainly help keep things at bay or minimize them if that's possible? What would you suggest, Lynn? This is important.
Yeah. So let me preface first of all. This is just from my experience. Of course, it's all trial and error, and most of it's off-label experimental use. So keep that in mind. And then I always say what I've learned so far is to get a good basic, at least know what's going, what DNA you have, like pathways-wise that genetics can tell you. Your microbiome is important, and your micronutrient test. Those three are very important because it's going to tailor your treatment and your protocol to your symptoms specifically to you. Because what we found, Jeff and Erica, is not one single lab test, imaging, modality, treatment, supplement, medicine has helped anybody at all, like one single person.
So
that's the problem we're coming up with. But my four go-tos that I use daily, and I still have to use acutely pharmaceuticals, and I hate it and I don't want to, but these are off-label and experimental and they're working. So they're not used for what the FDA wants you to use them for. We're using them for how we use it. So I've mixed integrative and Western medicine into my protocol, and I take my four go-tos are Cardio Miracle. That's a must, especially if you have postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. It's got a lot of vitamins, phytonutrients, and I describe it as like magic in a cup. Because you can literally, when you're drinking it, it just feels magical. Just trust me on this, and you'll know what I'm talking about.
You can actually feel it, sense it when you're drinking.
It's just like bubbly and pure, and it just feels good.
Cardio Miracle, all right?
Cardio Miracle, you can get it on its site. I know Dr. Judy Mikovits has it on her site, and you can also get it off Amazon. Depends on how you like to shop or what don't like to shop and all that good stuff.
So,
and it's affordable. It's about $100 for a big jug. It's a supplement, and you put it in your drink. Also, my silver bullets, what I call them, my gun, my silver bullet, and my trigger is ivermectin daily. I take 18 milligrams based off my weight. It will fluctuate because I've been losing muscle mass. So I'm between 100 pounds and 110 pounds here recently, just fluctuating. It's a struggle with that because I miss my athletic features. But that ivermectin with hydroxychloroquine. That's my two bang bangs. And then my last one is low dose naltrexone. It's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, and it's helped with my cytokine storm, trying to calm it down, and also the joint pain and swelling. And so that way you don't have to take your narcotics and your opioids and stuff like that. Because I'm also on steroids, and that was my fifth one that we just added.
Right,
and I didn't want to go on it, but we haven't tried it yet in the 2 years, and it actually is what's gotten me out of the bed and off the couch and stabilized my pot so what some days. So I'll take it as a quality of life benefactor.
Yes, yes, very good. Very helpful. All right. The idea of pain. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
Go.
Yeah.
No, you.
No, pain. Pain is a big one because with pain, it's like we can't get any relief because we have nerve pain, we have muscle pain, and then we have random pains. We don't even know what it is.
Got it. All right. Very good. A lot of people are all of a sudden besieged with pain. You know, whatever, arm, leg, interior, your digestive tract, headaches. They get pains. And that you just said it, and we've said it. It's the spike loves to mess up your neurology, and that's that's part of it right there, a big part of it. Erica, what about the bacterial digestive issue? That's another big one that's not getting much attention. Hey, the problem here is that there are too many things to pay attention to, and everybody will manifest differently. It's crazy.
It's like a puzzle.
Yeah, it is important. And I think that one of the questions that's still open is, did the person's microbiome become also transfected with this gene transcript?
Yeah.
And is it, you know, what is it producing? Is it producing spike or some other kind of toxin? So that needs to be answered. But a common denominator in pretty much anyone who's had the vaccine and maybe even the infection, the virus itself, is this loss of the butyrate-producing bacteria, the bifido, and there's a couple of other rarer species. But, you know, without that, without that bacteria, you're really vulnerable to colonization by, you know, opportunistic pathogens, bacteria. You know, the inflammation's going to go rampant, so you're probably going to have leaky gut, which sets the stage for endotoxemia, and the spike will exacerbate any kind of endotoxemia that's occurring. And also, if it gets bad enough, sepsis. You know, if you've got bacteria. Yeah, go ahead, Lindsay.
So I took my microbiome, Erica, and you're describing exactly to the T what happened to me. So it completely, I went and saw and did a panel with Sabine, who's on, she's a world-renowned geologist. And we discovered that it almost eradicated all of my bifido and lacto and good bacteria and an overgrowth of E. coli, which we knew would be in there from the shots. And, of course, we have it in our gut anyways. But also it overtook with Klebsiella and H. pylori. So Helicobacter were two more buggies. And I was probably about 35% leaky gut, and that's when I started to get sicker. So I was starting to show the endotoxin signs because my carbon dioxide went down to 16, and then my kidney function, my BUN, went up to 26. So I was starting to be symptomatic. So, yeah, it's definitely doing that. And so right now, you know how important the gut is, and it can harbor the spike in the viruses. And also latent viruses. So, like my EBV that got reactivated and then the shingles is seeing that too. That's exactly what it's doing. So, I'm on a strict diet right now to build the bifido because we have to build that first. And then I'm still on the cytokine monocyte line protocol with Patterson and the HIV drug because now I have the VADs as well because it knocked out my T cells. My T cells were, let me read them to you. So my CD3 was 0.18, my CD4 was 0.11, and my CD8 was 0.04.
Oh, my goodness.
So almost eradicated. So I'm in the vaccine-acquired immunodeficiency syndrome that you guys hear about, and I'm also HIV negative.
That's frightening to hear that.
Yeah. We are seeing false positives of HIV in the community, but mine did come up negative. So that's concerning, especially with the glycoprotein 120 thing.
I think the test. It depends what they're using as you know, what antigen are they looking for in the HIV virus? Because there's a couple things that can throw a false positive. One of them is Lyme disease, and the other one is syphilis.
We just off a Lyme panel for me.
Okay.
So we haven't got that back. So we'll see that. But we did it with the S1 immune subset panel with the cytokines, and we also figured out with the VAIDs and the monocyte lines. The VAIDs part that we're seeing cytokines elevated with the low T cells are the TNF alpha, the interferon gamma, and then we're seeing the lymphocyte percent and the which this popped up on mine, and I wasn't sure what it meant or what it would alert to, but the immature granulocyte percent was 1.2, so it was high. So I'm not sure what that means or what that's relating to. If anybody knows anything about that. But the main thing was on my cytokine panel, my interleukin 6, which is the pro-inflammatory bad boy one that's popping up in a lot of the injured, is 6 and 8 interleukin. Mm. It was 48.8, and normal is supposed to be 1 to 3.
That's sky high. That's sky high.
Yeah.
All right.
And
go ahead. Go.
Just the microclot, because I did a microclot panel too, and I do have amyloid fibrin microclot. And it was graded 3.5 out of 4, moderate and widespread, and it had endothelial cast. So the little fibrin finger things and the inflammation is there. I did have an MRA of my iliac vein because I was getting some modeling and some blood flow cut off to my feet. They were scared a clot was lodged, but it came back clear, so that was good. And then the last panel that I did, we just sent off a neurotransmitter, a cortisol hormone, and the Lyme panel, so those will be coming in soon, and still waiting on DNA. But yeah, that's pretty much the update for all of you guys. It's a lot.
Thank you for sharing that. But again, just to repeat, no firm decision one way or the other on DNA integration. Not yet.
Not yet. Still waiting,
All right. Now, we have a lot of things out there. The human body, for all of you who may be new to this, has some marvelous God-given defenses against cancer. Those defenses are targeted for destruction, certainly to make them immobile or useless by the injections. That's what's leading, certainly to a degree, this wave of turbo cancers. People being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer of this, that, and the other thing. It's stunning to even hear these things. What is your take on turbo cancer now? How common, how often are you hearing about it? Is it growing as they say it is? What are your experiences with hearing about it and your knowledge?
Yeah, so I actually, after working in the ICU and ER and COVID, I transferred to oncology before I got injured, and that's when I went out of work. So we started seeing it pretty quickly after I transferred over and working in the ICU. And one of the main things I recognized was when we were sending our people for mammogram screenings, just for prophylactically, they were coming back with nodules in their lymph nodes. So then we knew it was going straight from the muscle to the lymph nodes and then circulating through the body. So we would advise them to wait a month after so that that way the lump wouldn't be there. So I started seeing it then. But then as we're going on now, of course, with my dad being diagnosed and everything that I know, we are in cellular senescence. And what that is our cells are rapidly aging. Actually sent a telomere test off, too, and that's going to measure the length of my chromosomes to see how fast it's shortening and the length is going. Because what we've been noticing, especially these past 3 months, rapidly, we're getting gray hairs, white hairs pretty quickly. Our collagen is decreasing.
Well, that's what we're hearing. People complaining about, my God, I look 10 years older when they look in the mirror after a few months. You just described the mechanism perfectly.
Yeah. So what is happening is the cells aren't making the ATP and energy, so they're dying, but they're not dying correctly. The apoptosis does not happen correctly like it should. So what it's doing is it's not dying correctly, and it's clogging the area up. And you can't get to regenerate your new stem cells. So it's kind of like zombie cells just chilling there, and it's causing rapid aging. We're seeing that pretty quickly.
Telomere senescence. We don't hear that expressed like that, but that's critically important. That's a very good handle. Telomere senescence, okay. How about prion disease? Now, it's not just CJD we're talking about here, but that's the most dramatic evidence of it. Prions, these proteins, are caused by the spike. And once a protein is turned into a prion, it can go on and cause others to misfold. That's a big one. CJD cases used to be one in a million people. And there are groups now out there, CJD groups and so forth. We're getting a lot of reports about CJD, and it's quick. It's these people are gone in 3-4 weeks, some of them.
Yeah, we are. There's actually been two deaths reported from vaccine injured recently. One was Italy, one was the United States. It both had CJD, and they didn't last but maybe a couple weeks. It was very, very rapid, and mm-hmm. usually this is a slow progression, you know, not as rapid as what that was. So, yes, we are seeing it, and it has been confirmed as well.
All right. Erica, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm observing it too. You know, you look at these support groups that were pretty sleepy and, you know, quiet and small before this pandemic. And in the last year or two, even one of the admins in one of the CJD groups just said one day, I can't believe how many new members are just suddenly coming into this group. What has changed?
Wow.
And I honestly think she was not connecting the dots at this point. But there is chatter among the people that are in that group. And a lot of times it's the family members of the victim. And they're comparing notes, and quite often either the virus comes up, and there are people that did not take the vax but did have the infection, COVID, and something happened during that time that something happened with their brain, and they went on to develop CJD and died. But now, I mean, there's just waves of people coming in, not as much as in the ALS groups, which, you know, is another form of protein misfolding that affects your motor neurons, so you lose the ability to walk and move, basically. That those groups are really just exploding. It's horrific. And there's no answers, just no answers.
Yeah, there are no answers. Here's another angle. This is a big one. Now, some people, you mentioned it quite clearly, the three ways we're going to get dosed with spike and mRNA, at least two of the ways. We're going to get it through the virus, which is a bioweapon. We're going to get it through the injection, which is a bioweapon. And we're going to get it through shedding. Now, shedding, again, is something when you're out, you can't see it, you can't smell it. Well, some people say they can. You can't feel it, but it's there. What do you recommend? We have our own recommendations. This is common sense. The only thing we think that can really be done to try to minimize your risk from shedders is to stay away from them physically.
Yeah.
That's your best bet. How do you see it?
Yeah, of course, like, you know, don't want to get pregnant, abstinent, stay away. But you also have to live your life. Just take your curcumin, your turmeric, your NAC, things that break down the spike or protect your nasal mucosal airways whenever you're going out in public. You know, if you feel like you need to wear gloves or masks, protect yourself. Who cares? Whatever you have to do, protect yourself, because it's your body, your life, your choice. And we just need to be mindful of what's going on so that way we know how to protect ourselves.
Oh, exactly. Well, there's personal choice involved here is, I'm sure, what Lindsay is also including in that. It's up to you people to do what you think works for you. You do have to live your life. We certainly honor that. We always have. But there are things that I mean, when I get email...
I say that to coming from a person who's housebound and bedbound. I mean, like, don't be afraid to go out in public. Don't go out there, act a fool, you know, put yourself in risky spots and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know,
well, we get emails from people. Is it okay to have sex with a vaxxed person?
Right.
We get this all the time. Yeah, we get this often. And the general rule of thumb is common sense. If these people are shedding, why would you expose yourself to that if you haven't been vaxxed or you haven't had the virus. Hi, all right, here's another one. How many people, just to take a stab, this is just a guesstimate thing, how many people have had, well, we think it's about 81% have had the injection. And how many people have had the virus itself, which is bad news, and the injection? Let's just keep the shed victims out of this for a minute. How high is that percentage? What would you guess? It's, we think 80% is fair for the injection percentage. What about the rest of it?
Fair, because like myself, I haven't had the virus, but I've confirmed it. So there's just so many unknowns. But that's very fair. And I called those people that they dumped onto that, and they targeted, they honestly targeted that long COVID community when they did that, because there was no testing saying that the vaccine would help long COVID symptoms. And that's what they were using as a treatment to help their symptoms was the vaccine.
Right.
So it was dumping more spike on top of them. So I call them hybrids because they're both injured from long COVID and the vaccine. Yeah. That's how I describe them.
And the other side of that virus coin is a lot of people try to discount it. Oh, it's just like having a cold. It'll go away. No, no. That's not what happens to many people. They get knocked out for sometimes several months before they're back to, quote, normal, whatever normal is for them. That virus is something you don't want. It's not something you want at all.
So when I talk about the virus, I look at it as a picture. So I picture in my mind when they say virus, the spike, because that's the ultimate toxic, and that's what's causing both of the injuries. Basically, it's spikeopathy or spike injury to your body is what it is.
All right, I have one more question. The average person, man on the street, woman on the street, person on the street, when you ask them, do you know anyone? Now, let me preface this. A lot of death certificates don't mention anything about spike, the virus, the injection, none of it. They'll put down kidney failure, even though they were destroyed by the virus and or the
shot. Market COVID. You get paid.
Right. How many people know somebody who's died? And it's often a case of people will say, well, I know three or four who have died, or even more than that. How many do you know that are vax injured? That's a little hard to quantify for some because, oh, I've got arthritis, I've got pain, it's not the shot or wasn't shedding, but it was. But I think most everyone now knows someone who has been negatively impacted or drastically impacted by either the virus, the shot, and or shedding. I think it's almost universal. It's getting close. What do you think?
I was thinking about this the other day because someone asked me, what do you think the ratio was? Because the autism rate went down to 1 in 24, I think. I don't know if you had heard about that, Erica. And I was thinking, at first I was like, maybe 1 in 100 people. But then of how many people I talk to daily, weekly, monthly in the past 2.5 years, I would say safely right now 1 in 50 people have been affected, if not 1 in 32-ish. That's just my guesstimate based off of what I've experienced myself.
1 in 50, 1 in 30, 1 in 50. I have a personal theory that, let's say, we lost 10% of our people in this country in the last 3.5 years.
Yeah.
I don't think most people would notice that over a period. 1 out of 10 people gone over a period of 3.5 years, a gradual diminution, I don't think people would notice, frankly. So I don't know how many have died or how many are laid up at home and can't get out at all anymore. They might as well be dead. It's just the whole thing is so dark and evil. It's it's preposterous.
Demonic.
The greatest crime committed against human beings ever.
I can't even believe they're about to roll out, you know.
Yes, the fall version. Yep, yep.
Well, they snuck that RSV shot in, didn't they? They didn't even have a hearing.
I mentioned that right at the start of our program tonight, that they approved it based on nothing.
Nothing.
They rubber stamped it.
And I also heard talk, too, that they pulled or Novavax expired. So I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's what I saw.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, right, too, but Jeff just read a story that, no, they're getting together, what, this week, this month, to talk about the fall booster.
They're planning their new fall rollout. It's like the new fall automobile line. They're going to bring it out in the fall. Try and get it done before the so-called election, I guess. It's crazy.
It's your best deal. Yep. Wow.
No, this is it's incredible. It's really just flabbergasting.
One more question, Lindsay, and we're going to let you go get some rest. This issue of muscle wasting that you mentioned, there are many who are in that paradigm now. It's brutal. Have you found any way to try to rebuild or recover lost musculature in your body?
No, and it's very frustrating because, like I said, I've been athletic all my life.
Yes.
Because with us, we have to be careful with how much energy we use up because we're not making it. So it's like your body's not even trying to make it down. It's just constantly breaking it down because you're such in a hyperinflammatory state too. And that, and then they also found prions in the skeletal muscle tissue in the long COVID study. So I don't know if that could be an issue. They're just not staining for it yet or found it. So that's another possibility.
All right. You have anything else, Erica? And we're going to say goodnight to Lindsay.
Okay. I just read a study about a case of muscle wasting in a young 20-something-year-old, and they tied it to porphyria. This guy actually had porphyria, which means, you know, you're not making heme. And when they treated him for this porphyria, he was given injections of hematin. He recovered. Now, significant damage had been done. I mean, this muscle wasting went on for about a year. But getting that heme back into him enabled him to get out of this chronic wasting. So I don't know why hematologists are not weighing in on this. You know, it's almost,
they're with the oncologist. So oncology, hematology, neurology, rheumatology, they're all the money makers and they're all the system doctors that aren't helping the back injured. I will say that. They're the hardest ones to find. And another thing I want to put in your brain, Erica, is how I've talked about the genes, how what we think's happening is, especially if integration has occurred, genes that were previously on are being turned off and vice versa. I think it's doing it with the intrinsic and extrinsic pathway in the hematology.
Well, that's
what
crazy.
What are your thoughts on that? Because it's turning stuff on and off that weren't previously, you know, on before, and it's the VICT and the HIT and that sort of thing. So I'm not a hematology expert, but, I mean, put that on the table, see where it goes.
That's important. I hadn't heard that. I don't think we've heard that. That's crazy. That's another angle of how this thing is anti-life. That'll talk about chaos. My God, at the genetic level, turning genes on and off randomly, or maybe there's intent. We don't know. That's crazy.
Maybe I need to test my blood type because I was O positive before, and I haven't had a type and screen since my injury. So that may be another thing to add to the list just to see what happens.
Wild. Lindsay. Thank you for being here. You're an inspiration.
Thank you.
I'll come anytime.
Yeah,
you guys call me. Anytime you need to. I'm always open.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks very much.
I'm glad you're doing better. You sound great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm getting there. I love you.
Get some sleep.
Thank you.
Okay, dear. All right. Good night.
Okay. Good night, Lindsay.
Well, there's an inspirational story for you. She's a fighter. She's an absolutely great athlete before she got sick, injured. And she's hyper observant about all this stuff. Her body was a finely tuned instrument, and she's watched it all. I still think that the shedding thing is very important, and I hope all of you do take it seriously.
What I've observed and concluded for right now, I may change my mind at some point, but it seems as though the people that are hypersensitive to the shedding are people who had the infection at some point in 2020, 2021,
right.
You know, before the mass rollout of the vaccines. And we know that, that COVID, the infection with the virus, is a sensitizing event. You become sensitized to these viral proteins, and if one of them's the spike, well, the next time you're exposed to spike, you're going to react. And that seems to be a common denominator of the people that are most adversely affected by the shedding. Not that that couldn't happen from, you know, someone that didn't have the virus, but they got a good dose of spike all at once, or chronic exposure to spike, they too could become sensitized to it. And I think we are seeing that now. People that thought they were fine, didn't have issues with shedding, are now having issues with shedding.
And having issues, period, you bet.
It's difficult because, you know, it's a combination of, you know, you're becoming sensitized, you're having an inflammatory reaction. It often goes on to this MCAS, mast cell activation syndrome, and it becomes very difficult to manage. And there may be, you know, porphyria in there as well because the heme is getting destroyed. And when you can't build heme, you know, these porphyrins build up and you get sick. You get sick from the buildup of the porphyrins, and you get sick because you cannot make enough heme to run your body, one of which is your liver that, you know, is responsible for detoxifying all kinds of things, metabolic toxins and external toxicants.
Well, and she said that livers are showing, we'll call them growths, not necessarily.
Yeah, the livers are taking
growths,
a beating, and that's
terrible.
Probably from, you know, the bile. A lot of these people have sludgy bile, and then that's hurting the liver. The iron buildup will hurt it. Porphyria can result in liver failure.
Well, we just covered an awful lot of material, and we'd urge you all to maybe listen to the program a second time and help build your data banks with information. This is top-of-the-line material from a very heroic woman. This is...
she's a hero to a lot of people. Yeah. She's really been a go-to and just a coordinator, facilitator for so many vax-injured people. She's a shining light.
And many of you listening right now are vax-injured. We know that. And we really care. We're trying to do our best to present anything that might be helpful to you. This is a terrible thing that's been done to our species on this planet. Okay. Wow. Very interesting material.
That was a good update.
Okay. Take care. Talk soon.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone. Good
night. And we will take a little break, come right back with more next.